Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, here we go. If you're hearing Yacht Rock and it's near the end of the week, you know where we're going next. Joining us now on Up North News for this Thursday, September 29th, is Courier Newsroom's political editorial director and woman who still really enjoys showing off livestock at the fair, Carolyn Fiddler.
Good morning, hey there. Carolyn.
What did you post the other day? You were leading somebody around, or maybe Bessie was leading you around. I don't know. What was the story there?
Well, when it came to Star, who was about 1,600 pounds, she was definitely leading me around. Little Daphne is a little heifer, quite a bit lighter. So I was actually able to lead her around. But those are the two cows I was tasked with showing at the Virginia State Fair last Saturday.
Well, but you looked so happy doing it. And I thought people kind of age, don't you normally age out of that at like 17 or 18 or something?
Yes, actually. But, you know, when cows need to get shown, someone's got to show them. So I was there.
You were willing to do that for your dad?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So Carolyn is bringing back a weekly newsletter that tracks political developments at the state level across the 50 states. Normally, we will talk to her during the 10 o'clock hour on Fridays, but because we don't have a live show tomorrow, we're talking to her on a Thursday, which means if I ask her what's in the newsletter this week, I'm going to get this dog ate my homework kind of answer from Carolyn. Carolyn, what's in the newsletter this week?
Stuff about states.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, lots of stuff about states.
Okay.
The last couple of weeks, I've leaned really hard into like kind of griping about the lack of attention and investment in these races. So I'm thinking about pivoting away from that a little bit this week, but not entirely because it's still an issue.
You mean in terms of what groups or parties are deciding to spend where or at what level?
No, that's completely right. Like the DNC is all like, oh, we haven't given the DLCC money because like hard, soft money. And like we're helping them in other ways, which miss me with all of that.
Yeah. Which is, again, it's awkward. You wish somebody had that magic wand, because there are some races, obviously the marquee races, where it's completely overdone. I mean, there's no disputing that. But again, because there's multiple independent groups, plus the candidates and campaigns themselves, you know, they're all swimming in the big pool, which is just awash in cash. And if you're a TV viewer, or frankly, an internet viewer, you know, with the ads that come up before you can watch a YouTube video or something, you would say, yes, there's definitely a problem with how resources are allocated in American elections these days.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And by these days, I think you mean for the last 20 years.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, especially as it gets, you know, more digital. And by the way, well, Carolyn does this for Courier Newsroom. We also have a colleague or former colleague who does a newsletter for What It's Worth that is specifically geared toward tracking digital spending, which I never really thought of until I saw that newsletter for the first time a couple of years back. I always think about, you know, the TV ad spending, which we all know is ridiculous. And then, of course, there's, you know, how much mail is going out. But, you know, it is a big thing now, is how much of your campaign budget are you allocating toward digital ads, people that have cut the cord. So the only way you're going to reach them is on their cell phone when they're trying to look at a video or something like that, or through Facebook ads. It's amazing how fractured political advertising has become over these past 20 years or so.
That's incredibly true. And I'm really glad you brought it up, because actually Kyle and I are working together to hopefully do a little bit of a joint look at that in these down ballot races next week, not this week.
So, oh, you guys would combine for this would be like, yeah, a crossover episode, yeah, like Scooby-Doo, the gang lands on Gilligan's Island. That kind
I was
of
thinking
thing?
More like Alf and Gilligan's Island, but yes, basically. Which is a real crossover that happened, I'll have you know.
No, that can't be. Now I'm going to have to look that up.
You are. There's an image.
That just makes me sad. When we talked about how you're, you know, what kind of themes come together for a newsletter in any given week, and you asked me off air, you know, what kind of themes I think you know could be brought up, and I think one that's undercovered or underappreciated, but certainly not on this show, is the refusal of some Republican candidates, I would argue a growing number of Republican candidates, to debate. To debate in a traditional debate forum with their Democratic opponent. But as we've also said on the show previously, some of these Republican candidates won't even fill out questionnaires from their local newspapers. And it really tells you about the growth of the right-wing media bubble that they feel like that's enough. Or do you think that's more of a Wisconsin thing and we're not seeing that as much nationwide?
Oh, no, we're definitely seeing that nationwide. These folks took a lesson from Trump, frankly. It was definitely way less prevalent before Trump. And Trump would only give these interviews to softball outlets he knew weren't going to ask him hard questions, weren't going to hold him accountable for Jack. And so now other Republicans who are very much in his mold are doing the same thing. They don't want voters to know who they are, because if voters know who they actually are and what they actually believe in, they're going to get scared. And not want to vote for these people.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went through all the reasons, you know, why Derek Van Orden is refusing to debate Brad Paff in the 3rd Congressional District, because, you know, you might get asked about trying to bring a loaded gun on an airplane, or freaking out at an LGBTQ library book display, you know, or, I don't know, attending the insurrection on January 6th. You know, the things that somebody would ask you about in a debate, as opposed to what he was looking for, was more of the reality show, mob scene, you know, situation. So we'll look at other potential trends among the states with Carolyn Fiddler, the political editorial director for Courier Newsroom. When we come back, you're up north. With the second favorite fan of Yacht Rock on this radio show, Carolyn Fiddler from Courier Newsroom, and Luke Mathers, our producer. Luke, we were talking about this a couple weeks back. Ben Wickler was on the program, state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And I asked if there were any surprises coming up, you know, big crossovers, big cast reunions from movies or TV shows. And of course, he was playing coy. Little did we know one was on the cusp of being announced.
I have a feeling that he had one of them lined up, and then you asked if he had any big events lined up, and he's like, you know, for Pat's sake, I need to get another cast added to this event.
Oh, you think I did this?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
See? Absolutely. I put the pressure on him. So now the stars of The West Wing and Veep are coming together for a live stream event to support the Democratic Party of Wisconsin on Sunday, October 9th at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then viewers will be asked to donate any dollar amount to participate in the event. You can look for it on the web. I'm sure you can find it easily enough. Carolyn, not here necessarily just to you know, tip my cap to Ben Wickler, but I mean,
he's great.
You look at the other state parties.
I've been for a long time.
I'm not aware of other state parties that are putting that, you know, getting that kind of star power on a consistent basis during election cycles.
Well, one thing about Ben that I really like, I mean, obviously being able to bring in these big names to help raise money is very important and like a key function of a state party chair. But one of the things that I've always loved about him is he gets how important like all the races in a state are. Like a lot of times state parties just work on like the statewides and the federal races, and they leave like their state caucus operation to take care of the rest, which is not a good allocation of resources in my opinion, but it's mostly the rule. The exception is Wisconsin, where Wickler gets that the party needs to be involved in all races at all levels. So he does not ignore the state legislature, which is a very good thing. And I wish more parties would be like that.
And even though he is trying that, and it again, as somebody who's been deeply involved in that issue over the years, despite that, there is still grumbling. There's a new article today in one of the state outlets where folks across rural Wisconsin are accusing the state Democratic Party of ignoring them, of not putting enough resources in there. And trust me, as somebody who has worked across rural Wisconsin, it never feels like it's enough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it also is a function of resource allocation. That's what we're coming back to is, you know, you putting a few extra dollars into a rural assembly district is admirable. But if you are risking losing the governorship as a result of it, suddenly losing that rural district by, you know, 10 points instead of 20, feels a lot less like a consolation prize. And more like a participation trophy.
That's a good point. And like, yeah, you're right. Like Wickler, by making the party more of a just a bigger umbrella for all elected offices, he's definitely opened himself up to more triage. Mm-hmm. So it's a struggle. And yep. I don't envy him the choices he has to make every day in terms of where to spend resources.
Voters get to make choices in several states, not just for political office, but for ballot questions across Wisconsin. There are just a whole ton of school districts that have ballot issues asking for funding, mostly funding just to maintain current services. It's not like they're doing new construction or something. That's how much austerity Republicans have put into the state budget over the years, is that, you know, they force voters to hike their own taxes because they don't have the testicular fortitude, you know, to properly fund schools themselves. What are ballot issues like in some of the other states that you're following?
Well, one state I'm paying close attention to is Arizona. Arizona has a long tradition of civic participation in statewide lawmaking, in a sense, through their ballot measure initiative process. That is how Arizona voters got their independent redistricting commission a couple decades ago, which has definitely helped that state stay more competitive and more fair in terms of state legislative and congressional elections, even though Republicans have been running the show there since almost time out of mind. Not quite. And so, but this year, Republicans are getting a little wise, and they are trying to make it harder in future elections for ballot measures to pass. And that's a big issue, especially now after the pre-Arizona being a state abortion ban is now back in effect in Arizona. And one way that citizens could overturn that would be through a ballot measure. But if it's harder to do that, that's obviously what Republicans want.
It's such a, you know, it's such a pendulum that we've had to watch over the years as, you know, ballot measures. Do we make it easier for people to have initiative and a referendum? Do we make it harder? In Wisconsin, we don't really have it. So when Ron Johnson said, oh, we should have a statewide referendum on Roe v. Wade, you know, people's response was somewhere along the lines of, you dummy, we can't do that here in Wisconsin.
Right.
So Tony Evers kind of pulled his fat out of the fryer and said, oh, no, let's go ahead and do that. Let's let people vote on, you know, whether abortion rights should be, you know, further restricted in Wisconsin. And Ron Johnson couldn't have backpedaled fast enough. Like, oh, no, that's divisive. He loves that one. It's divisive to take up my idea. That couldn't happen, you know?
Yeah. How quickly do you think the special session is going to get gaveled out?
Oh, my goodness. It'll be like all the others, I guess, unless... I mean, there's the potential that this one could have a bigger, you know, crowd at the Capitol, unlike the others, you know, that people try to mobilize on one side or another and turn it into a show that way. But in terms of the actual legislators showing up for work, no, that's, you know, I mean, that's not
going to... Give it 45 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've all been just a matter of seconds. You know, there will be a handful of Democrats there who will try to object, and then it will be gaveled out. And that, I think, is the most galling thing. We talked for a minute ago about candidates who won't debate. These are legislators who won't debate. They won't even take the time to debate the merits of why Governor Evers called them into special session about potentially putting ballot measures in the hands of voters. They won't even talk.
Nope. I mean, Robin Voss, fastest gavel in the Midwest. I got to tell you, maybe that's the title he's going for.
Yeah. Carolyn Fiddler joins us, political editorial director from Courier Newsroom. So we talked a bit about Arizona. I have to be honest. I think we've gone maybe a week without Dr. Oz making a fool of himself in Pennsylvania. You know, unless I'm missing something. I think last week we talked about how he realizes that he's behind and, like a lot of Republicans, has just turned to straight up fear mongering, you know, in a lot of crime ads. And I'm guessing that environment isn't getting any better in the states either, because I'm seeing articles in the Washington Post and New York Times about that this appears to be a nationwide phenomenon, that Republicans are trying to change direction after the backlash from repealing Roe v. Wade.
Right, exactly. And it's incumbent on Democrats to not let them change the conversation. Republicans are desperate to scare people into voting for them. as opposed to helping them and as opposed to letting them remember that it's Republicans that are doing the scary things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they're desperate to change the conversation, and Democrats just can't let them. The more they respond to these things, the worse off they are. But going back to the Oz thing, now Republicans are trying to paint Fetterman as a crip.
Crip. As a gang member?
Yes, as the West Coast gang member. I can't make it up.
Seriously, that's their thing?
Mm-hmm. That's the latest. That's the Breitbart extreme right wing thing. Oz is not saying it himself because obviously that's absurd. He's not saying it yet.
Let's just go ahead and take it to its natural conclusion then. I would guess, based on last night's news, by the end of today, they will tie Fetterman to the death of Coolio. You know, that there must be some gang connection there.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past him.
Now we got to play Gangsta's Paradise.
Yes, we do. Oh, RIP. He was only 59. What the heck?
I know. And everybody's already made all the Fantastic Voyage jokes and everything else. But to think that it was, you know, John Fetterman that killed him, or was it Dr. Oz to make it look like that? This is how silly Pennsylvania has become, people. I know we've got all of, you know, no listeners in Pennsylvania, but if you are one of them, he's getting silly over there, folks. Let's just get this done. You've got an insurrectionist, you know, running for governor. You've got another failed TV celebrity. And let's face it, TV celebrities only belong on morning radio shows. So that's Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Michigan, it appears again that the Democratic incumbent, Gretchen Whitmer, continues to be in pretty good shape there. But again,
let's not make assumptions. No assumptions.
I was going to say 40 days is eternity in this. And she could be accused of being a gang member, you know, at some point here.
Never mind that actual gang members tried to kidnap her.
What's the closest, apart from Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is what it is. what's the closest thing to a nail biter among all of the big races that people are watching in these swing states?
Ooh, I would say the North Carolina Senate race and or the Arizona governor's race.
Those okay, we have briefly mentioned Arizona governor. We have not talked about North Carolina at all. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we have a former state Supreme Court justice running against Ted Budd, just your sort of dyed-in-the-wool MAGA Republican. Nothing new to say there, but because he said Budd, he's terrible and scary. And Sherry Beasley is the Democrat, and she's running a great campaign. North Carolina continues to be a challenging state. But this race is going to be sort of the dark horse, the sleeper, like people are just starting to pay attention to it because there's only so much oxygen in any given room, honestly. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of things taking up all of it so far. But that is a race to watch, and Democrats have a shot there, but it's a longish one.
Well, and the same we say it all the time about Florida and about Texas, and you know, is this finally the time that, you know, Beto O'Rourke, you know, upsets Governor Abbott?
No.
How is somebody such a celebrity at the start of a campaign, and yet by the end of it, he's coming out on the short end of it? Is he just a shooting star? Every time he runs for something here and it fades out?
I think it's giving Beto short shrift. I think he's doing great things for the party and for progressives in Texas every time he runs. He's making it okay to be a Democrat down there. He's giving people, you know, something to vote for instead of something to vote against. He's giving Democrats something to vote for instead of something to vote against, which is a big deal. There haven't been viable statewide Democratic candidates, like seriously, in Texas in a long time. And I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me for saying that, but let's be real. Beto has gotten closer than almost anyone else in the last few decades down there. He's doing a good thing. And is he going to win? Polls indicate that it's probably not going to happen, but mm-hmm. we all know how problematic polls have been in recent years. And that's not saying he's not running a great campaign and that everyone shouldn't get out and do all they can for him, because they should.
How about Georgia?
His opponent is a terrible person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Texas is just a mess because of this guy. How about Georgia with Stacey Abrams running against Republican Brian Kemp again? Is that Is that close or?
Oh, yeah. That, Georgia just stresses me out. I try not to think about it too hard because everything about it, the Senate race, the governor's race, it's just, it's, oh, it's so close.
And oh, so, yeah. Yes, I almost, yeah, I forgot about Raphael Warnock miners, is running for Senate. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then, but Herschel Walker, let's just end it right there. We don't even have enough time to say anything other than Herschel Walker. That's, we're just going to be good people and say goodbye to Carolyn right there. And maybe we'll have something to say about Herschel Walker next time. Boy, I'm really trying to be good on this. thank you, Carolyn. Have a great weekend. Talk thank to you, you. Next or next Friday.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Look forward to it.
All right. Take care. We will continue right after this break. You're up north. You see it all.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I'm not familiar with this version. I think the original was done by Weird Al Yankovic, if I'm not mistaken. And so is this... This must be Coolio's remake of that.
I actually think, now that I'm playing it, I think it's a remake of Coolio's version.
I was going to say, that really doesn't sound like Coolio's version either, now that I think about it.
See, the problem is, we use a musical library that Dominic Salvia has helped cultivate throughout the last decade. And Dominic really likes hard rock covers of songs that you... normally would find would just be the normal version, like Gangster's Paradise. You go in there and it doesn't say that it's the cover. It doesn't say who the artist is, and you pull it out and you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to play. And then surprise, it's a cover.
Dom also likes a lot of the same stuff that Coolio liked. And as a result, it kind of alters your decision-making skills.
It all blends together, I think.
It all does. It all comes together. I want to update one story that we've been following here on the State Natural Resources Board, where Fred Prehn, a holdover from being appointed by Scott Walker, continues to sit on the Natural Resources Board, which the right-wing justices on the state Supreme Court said that he can do because the right-wing members of the Wisconsin State Senate won't confirm Governor Evers' nominee to be on the State Natural Resources Board, one of about 100 nominations that they're still sitting on as we get near the end of the fourth year of Evers' term. It is something that will, I don't know how else to put it, except the history books are not going to be good to a Republican legislature like this. Their grandkids are going to read about them and think of them as terrible people. There's just no other way to put it.
Pat, they are going to ban those history books, though, because they're going to say they're too divisive.
History can't front on you if you don't allow history books. That's true. You're thinking there, man. You're thinking. Anyway, back to Fred Prehn, who refuses to step down. We'd already known that this was politically motivated. Text messages have since been uncovered between him and Scott Walker. And there's been email traffic that's been uncovered between him and Tom Tiffany and other lobbyists and other state senators. But more text messages were revealed this week. And so when the Natural Resources Board met yesterday, a fellow board member formally called on Fred Prehn to step down, to reconsider his refusal to step down, I guess is the right way to put it. It's a Governor Evers appointee, Marcy West, who said to him, "I sure hope you will reconsider and recognize the impact this has on all of us. There have only been 60 people that have had the opportunity to serve on this board, and you are blocking a very qualified candidate," Marcy West said. "The politics that have been brought into this, again, it's just alarming, and it's hard to deal with every aspect of this board because of it." Fred Prehn was about to respond, but board member Terry Hilgenberg interjected, saying that the issue shouldn't be discussed because it wasn't board business. Because it wasn't board business. The board's current chair and Scott Walker appointee, Greg Kaczmierski, also said he preferred that West not mention the matter during a portion of the meeting where members can raise issues to the board. Kaczmierski said it is not pertinent to the responsibilities of this board. West disagreed, to which Kaczmierski replied, "Well, the Supreme Court didn't." again, referencing the right-wing justices who said, as long as the right-wing senators don't appoint Evers' nominee, the right-wing board member can stay on the board.
Well, so did the Supreme Court say anything about discussing it on the NRB, though? I don't think they weighed into that.
It didn't at all. It was entirely appropriate to. And I guess depending on your frame of mind, you can either be happy with or frustrated that the non-Walker appointees haven't raised more of a stink about this. Not looked for ways to, you know, grind things to a halt, not recognize Fred Prenn when he speaks, talk over him because basically he's a ghost. He has no business being there, should not be there. You know, much like when Merrick Garland was denied a seat or even a hearing by the Supreme Court, a lot of us feel like much more should have been done about that. You don't stop bullying by simply sitting there and letting the bullies continue to get their way. And what we've learned from yesterday's meeting now is that this, Kaczmierski is, no less of a difficult person, shall we say, than Fred Prenn.
Well, and I think you kind of touched on something, though, because at last fall, when Prenn was still the chair, because he did chair this board when his term was expiring, and while he was chairing it, they had to cancel meetings because what they said at the time was a lack of agenda items or something of that nature is the reason why they canceled that meeting. But I have a feeling it was that the non-Walker appointees to this board weren't acknowledging Prenn, which may have led to the fact that he handed off the chairmanship to Kaczmierski, because why else would you get rid of the chairmanship? Like, if you believe that you're rightfully still allowed to be on that board for whatever sense of grandeur that Frederick Prenn has brought upon himself in his own mind.
Oh, there's no grandeur. He just wants to be a jerk. He just knows that he can continue to let Scott Walker's appointees have a majority on the board and take the board in a direction as if Scott Walker were still governor rather than the one that voters elected, in 2018. And so I guess what I'm really getting at here is I was holding up Fred Prenn as the worst member of the Natural Resources Board. But again, I would have felt better if a fellow Scott Walker appointee had said, Fred, I love you, I agree with you, but we've got to respect democracy. We should not be playing into these partisan games. And even though some of our favorite Republican senators have said they're willing to play along and block Evers' nominee, it's not the right thing to do. You should step down. That is absolutely 100% what every other Scott Walker appointed board member should be saying to be a decent human being and a decent public servant. And instead, they're backing him up and saying, oh, we shouldn't even talk about it during the meetings. I would talk about nothing but. And I also, by the way, think that, and again, we're all just speculating here, but I think the reason a meeting or more were canceled is I think he also had staff basically slowing things down and saying, oh, we can't have those materials ready for you. I know if I were involved in any kind of staffing there, that would have been to say collusion is putting it lightly. That if you're going to be governed by a board, you expect to be governed by a board that is rightfully there. And I don't mean rightfully by some right-wing justices said so. I mean rightfully by what you know the law is and what you understand about democracy. And that none of these Walker appointees have had the guts to do that makes them no better than Fred Prenn, who is simply much more naked in his ambition.
And I think the response to the hostile takeover is don't acknowledge the hostile takeover is just absurd. It's absurd. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They should be talking about it.
Yep. At this point, though, conservatives continue to have a 4-3 majority, which is why they have pulled their punches on everything from, PFAS standards to other environmental policies. They deadlocked 3-3 on groundwater standards for chemicals in the water. Of course, that they had that disaster of a wolf hunt early last year that was not in keeping with anything based in science for having a, you know, a healthy hunting season, because again, they wanted to play politics with it. And it's something that, frankly, I guess I've always thought should be talked about every day. I've always thought there should be more pressure. And by the way, not just Fred Prehn, but there are several members of, I believe, the Technical College Board who were appointed by Walker who haven't stepped down. So this isn't just on the Republican state senators. This is a culture. This is a culture of behavior by, again, not all Republicans, but it's only Republicans that are doing this. It's only conservatives that are doing this, showing this utter lack of respect for democracy and for governmental norms, knowing full well that if the shoe was on the other foot, they would be bringing this up every day. They would be trying to bring things to a halt if they could. And they have, again, that right-wing ecosystem that would spread it far and wide, and people would be at those board members' doorsteps, literally, which you don't see, you know, over here. So don't, there's no honor. There's no honorable position for you to take in this other than to finally do the right thing.
Yeah, it just falls in the same bucket as when Republicans win, they have all of the authority to do whatever they want. And when Republicans lose, they ignore that and say, well, we still have the authority to do whatever we want. And even when they have no basis to do it, Michael Gableman ran around for 14 months and spent more than $1 million of taxpayer funds on this wild goose chase for something that wasn't there. And Frederick Prehn is squatting, overstaying his welcome, and refusing to admit the all we heard, Pat, for a real long time after Donald Trump got elected was elections have consequences. And Republicans refused to admit the consequences of the 2018 election or the 2020 election here in Wisconsin. They stripped away powers from the Evers administration and Attorney General Josh Call before they even got started. And they've these more than 100 holdouts. Like you said, it shows the culture that Republican officials, not Republican voters per se, but Republican officials here in Wisconsin have for the outcome of elections.
So, So again, if you are what you would consider an independent voter, I hope this is something that you take into consideration of who you want to admit you cast a vote for. The election is now 40 days away, so voting is underway. People who had previously requested absentee ballots are starting to get them in the mail, are already starting to fill them out, are already starting to send them back. And so that means the first votes are already being cast for November. You can do yours now early as well. You can go to myvote.wi.gov. You can learn how to get registered if you aren't already. You can request an absentee ballot if you are registered. If you'd rather do that through your local clerk, you can find out who your local clerk is and their contact information so that you can either vote by mail absentee ballot or vote in person absentee ballot at your local clerk's office. Your local clerk's office sets the hours for early voting. They're not necessarily 9 to 5 business hours, so check ahead of time. But if you would like to avoid the long lines on November 8th, or at least the potential for them, or anything else that comes up, you could catch a cold from a 3-year-old and suddenly find that you don't want to leave the house. I started doing that after missing that one election when I was working at the TV station because it was chaos that night, and then 3 years of voting while living overseas. And I love democracy. I love Election Day. I really do. I would love to participate. But I've had enough instances where I've had to drive up to the Eagle Point Town Hall in something, a near snowstorm, and saying, why am I doing this when I don't have to? You know, there's other ways, more convenient ways to go about this. As much as Republicans are trying to make voting less convenient, there are still convenient ways to do this. So do it. Do it for whatever the host of reasons are. We were talking about with Carolyn Fiddler earlier that it's tough to keep track of all of the things that just Ron Johnson alone says that could influence you one way or another. Another instance came up yesterday as I was scrolling Facebook, and up pops an ad for Congressman Tom Tiffany. And Tiffany's giving the usual about, you know, Joe Biden this and inflation that. And, you know, aren't you tired of high gas prices, which, you know, have come off their record for what, 13 weeks in a row or something like that? But then he also mentions the lack of baby formula. And I'm like, thank you, Congressman Tiffany. I'd entirely forgotten to remind people that you voted against a bill that would have prevented the next shortage of baby formula. So why don't you make your messages a little bit more timely, vet them better, or just fire the person who put up that Facebook ad? They didn't do you any favors at all. We'll wrap up after this. You're up north. Playing our weekend kickoff song now because, again, we will not be live tomorrow. We will have a best-of show Friday and again on Monday while we take a long, well-deserved weekend, and we will be back live on Tuesday. But this is the part of the show where we tell you what else you can hear on many of the fine shows on the growing, expanding, frighteningly enlarged Civic Media Radio Group. And, you know, again, for the six stations that make it up now, I believe, and again, we keep telling you more on the way, and trust me, they're here real soon. But there's quite the list of shows, and some of which you may not necessarily hear where you're listening, whether it's in Richland Center or Amory or Wausau, or you may be listening online in any place else where, you know, markets where we're not heard or where we don't have stations yet. So we're going to spend this time each day helping you expand your listening library, whether it's live on the radio or on demand or, you know, on a podcast or online. That almost sounded clever there for a moment. Let me see. Let me get this right again.
I think that was the Dodge
on air, online, and on demand. I knew it. I knew I'd get it.
It was the dodge, dip, dive, duck, and dodge kind of thing.
All right. So let's go over this. Again, we really appreciate being here so far on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Eyre in Amory. But, you know, the constellation of stars in Civic Media includes locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, the Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and Devil Radio in Madison. So you're going to hear more about some of the shows that are on these stations and on others as well. We'll start where we probably will all the time, since As Goes Wisconsin follows us on each of our stations that we're on, where Kristen Bry has a panoply of guests. I think I used that word correctly. What do we know about Kristen's show today?
I don't even know that word, so I don't know if you used it correctly. So you'll have to double check. I can't fact.
So you didn't get the one. Eagle Scout didn't get the vocabulary badge. No, okay.
And spelling is my downfall. Like if I had a kryptonite or an Achilles heel, it's spelling, because I
well, that's why you're on the radio and not a writer. But exactly. Yes, panoply is a complete or impressive collection of things. So yes, panoply was used in its.
Aaron said that he knew the word. So Aaron was like, yeah, it's good.
So it's like between the two of you, I have one super producer. This is great.
But coming up after this fine program concludes, we've got Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin. She's going to have Dr. Mike. It's a Thursday. So she has I believe Dr. Mike does kind of personal life advice, but he also gives advice on fantasy football. So with the kickoff of the new football week at the NFL, he gives you some advice. So if you got questions about fantasy football, you can call in. I believe at 11:30, Dr. Mike is going to be on. I just have the guest list. I don't have the specific times. You just want to stay tuned all 3 hours for As Goes Wisconsin. And then Ari Brown from the Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to help out with some of the reports that they've released lately. In the last couple of weeks, they've been talking about the rise in property values across Wisconsin, from homes, farms, and commercial property, as well as the report. There's a second report out there, I believe, as well. So we're going to be talking Wisconsin Policy Forum reports with Kristen. That is Ari Brown. And then candidate Danielle Johnson for the State Assembly District 29.
Yes, Danielle, we've talked to her here.
Yes, so she was here on your fine program as well, but she will join Kristen on As Goes Wisconsin later today. And then Brian is doing Dueling Tangents by himself this afternoon. So if you've been missing out from a little Brian Kelly and what he
are you two not getting along now? Is this like a Bennifer breakup between you two?
Because absolutely
not. You were doing shows without him this week. And do you guys need Dr. Mike to help you answer some problems? Or?
No, it is Patriots Packers weekend, and he's a Patriots fan, and I'm the Packers fan. You would think that there was some turmoil there, but there's not. It's just pretty much we're in this growing expansion of the civic media empire that we are building here across the state of Wisconsin. Brian and I have to divide and conquer sometimes.
Very nice.
And so therefore, Brian will be doing this show by himself, and I'm going to be hitting the road a little bit early.
Is it just me doing it? Did Kroot just walk by? I got the sense with that black cape of his.
I asked him during one of the commercial breaks. He's like, I haven't even thought about a show yet today. So he takes it from the same vein that I take it. I do it on the fly sometimes. And so he doesn't have any guests for me to promote, but you can listen to the Devil's Advocates across the Civic Media Network from 4 to 6 p.m. But between that and Dueling Tangents in the 3 o'clock hour on Lake Air in Amory and Radio from the Center in Richland Center, you can listen to the Matt McNeil Show, or from 2 to 4, you can listen here on Bull Falls Radio, as well as locally grown radio, as you indicated earlier, in Wisconsin Rapids. That would be the Chad Holmes Show. So you got tons of different options for local programming, either regionally or specifically hyper-local for your area. And so you're going to want to tune in. Go to civicmedia.us. You can sign up for updates to learn more about what we're doing around the state of Wisconsin.
Or get the Civic Media app.
Yeah, you can download the app and you can listen to any of the stations. You can jump from program to program. And there may be a new station added by this time next week. So you just want to stay tuned to see where we're going to be popping up next.
Well, there you go. And Chad put up on Twitter, as far as tonight goes, on Bull Falls Radio at 6:45. It's a special high school sports broadcast. So let's see, what has he got here? We talk about the 15th annual Pink Ribbon volleyball match to raise funds in the battle against breast cancer. So the nice thing about Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, is that you can also use the TuneIn app. If you can use the Civic Media site or the app, but TuneIn works great as well. And if you ask it via Alexa to play WXCO, you can do all that by voice command.
Yeah, so you can do that for all of the stations except one. Here in Madison, you can't use WTTN. But if you tell Alexa or whatever your smart speaker is to play the 4 call signs for all of the stations besides Madison across our network, you can hear our stream through the TuneIn app via those smart speakers. But if you do tell the smart speaker to play Devil Radio, it still works. It's just not the call signs here in Madison.
But let's just keep clear that Madison station, basically the crown jewel of the empire, is the one that has gone big time. There's no Up North News there. There's no As Goes Wisconsin, because they've got these national powerhouses, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman. We can't compete with that kind of star power in the big city of Madison. But Dueling Tangents is there. Luke gets to be on the Madison radio station. Matt McNeil gets to be there. But for me and Kristen, can we compete with Stephanie Miller and Tom Hartman? No. So I know where we stand with you being in Madison, able to pull all the switches. Good work out of you, Eagle Scout.
I would fear for my life if I took away Stephanie Miller or Tom Hartman from some of our faithful listeners. So,
trust me, I get that. I would not try to wrestle that away one bit, but I digress. So there's your daily Civic Media update, which probably won't take 10 minutes in the future. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, a long weekend. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning. Yeah.